welcome Jonathan Todor as he comes.
Well, good morning, second service. You all look less sleepy than the first service. So I didn't say this in the first service, but it's actually been a very long time since I went to the first service. So because I was speaking this morning, last week my wife and I decided to come to the first service to see if we could wake up or not. Where, if you guys understand what I'm talking about, where are my Sunday afternoon nappers at? People who take, who need their Sunday afternoon nap or else they can't function. Amen. You're blessed. So, as Pastor Ken already said, my name is Jonathan, and I'm excited to share a word that God has put on my heart for you this morning. So, leading up to this week, Pastor Ken has told me about 3 weeks ago, three, 4 weeks ago, that I'll be sharing a message, and I said, okay, I just need a message to share. So I prayed about it for a couple weeks, and I'm like, God, where is this message going to come from? You know, I don't have it in my pocket, so you need to give it to me. So actually, during the first service last week, while David was up here preaching, I got a word from God, and he just said, you know, just share a little bit about yourself, and then he's going to take all the glory. Amen? Yes. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you for the second service. Thank you for everyone who came today. May your spirit just move in this place. And yeah, God, just we allow you to move, God. We allow you to change hearts and for people to experience you in a brand new way this morning. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right, so before I start, I want to tell you a little bit about myself. So for the past 4 years, just over 4 years, my wife and I, well, we were only married for a while, so myself and then soon my wife were leading the young adults ministry along with a few other people in the church. So that's on Tuesday nights. So Tuesday nights, we just meet with all the young adults, and we have been going through the studies in the New Testament to see what the early church did and how Jesus taught and empowered us today to do during our time here on earth. So we just praise Jesus together. We have a time of learning, and then we share our victories together, and we just ask God for more victories. So this morning, I've titled my message, Doing Things the Unconventional Way. Excuse my PowerPoint skills over there. I know the yellow doesn't match the green. So, yeah. There it is. That's great. Thank you, Pastor Ken. So this message, it's called Doing Things the Unconventional Way. So I'm sure that when you hear the word unconventional, there can be a lot of thoughts that come to your mind, maybe even some negative thoughts. So some of the thoughts that would come to my mind if someone would say, that's unconventional. You know, some of the thoughts would be unsure or maybe odd, or some of you are like, no thanks, unconventional is not for me. I know everything I want and it's here. Thank you. So if we look to the dictionary, unconventional means something different or something unusual, something unfamiliar, uncommon, like maybe you're pioneering something or doing something the unorthodox way. So where are the people in the house that feel like they live unconventional lives? You could put your hand up if you feel like your life is very unconventional. Amen. Amen. More hands in this service. Yeah, for myself as well, and my wife, living unconventionally sounds very exciting, you know, because in many ways it's not predictable, so you don't know what's going to happen or you don't know the next step. So my wife, who's sitting right there, put your hand up, John, too, nice and high. That's my wife. So we've been married for exactly a year this past Monday. So we celebrated our first year of marriage. Thank you. So where are the people that are married? Put your left hand up with your ring. Let me see you. And then all the unmarried people, put your other hand up. Amen. Look around, everyone. It's your free one. So if I were to describe marriage after 1 year, marriage is great. Marriage is fun. And it's very challenging in the best ways possible. It takes a lot of focus and a lot of energy. So to celebrate our 1 year this past Monday, I came home from work at noon, surprised my wife with a big bouquet of flowers, the flowers she likes. I know the ones she doesn't like, so I assume all the other ones she likes. So I got her the other ones. And then we had lunch together, then I went back to work, and then on my way home from work, I said, pack your bags, we're going somewhere. She's like, where are we going? You know, like, relax, we're not going away to California. We're just going out to a spa. Girls love that, right? A spa and a night out in Blue Mountain. And on the way there, we were just talking amongst ourselves on the way there and on the way back, just about, and celebrating, really, God's faithfulness to us in the past year. So one thing that always comes in conversation between the two of us is how God brought us together and how we would never have imagined that there's someone out there designed so great for each other. So based on our message, doing things the unconventional way, we had a lot of great unconventional experiences in our first year. So I'm going to share about one of them, which actually started right away. So just before the wedding, before we were engaged, I went out and bought Jeantou a ring, and I guessed her size, and it was right. So that's good so far. We both got new jobs last year. We bought a house in 1 day without looking into mortgages or fees or lawyers or pretty much all the stuff you should probably look into before you bought a house. And it was 3 weeks before the wedding, so it was good though. So after the wedding, we're like, we need to go out somewhere and relax. We need to go on our honeymoon, and we just need to like relax from all the craziness of everything that happened. So we started off our honeymoon in sunny Florida. So after a couple weeks of fun, we drove down to Miami. We weren't staying in Miami, so we went down to Miami, and we rented some mopeds. It was the best way to see the city. Yeah, David knows what I'm talking about. So renting a moped is the best way to see the city. You just drive around, very easy to get around. And then, after driving it for about an hour or so, one of us, I'm not going to say which one of us, was driving, because it was the same moped, two person, and hit a curb. So my brand new sparkly wife was on the ground bleeding. And I'm like, oh no. So what do we do? We're just standing there like, well, what do we do now? There's a gash in your leg. You're bleeding. We got this moped that's mildly broken. That's not ours. And this guy just pulls up on a motorcycle. He's like, hey, I live right here. You guys should not go to the hospital. It's too expensive. Just come to my house and I'll clean you guys up. AKA, he has a shower and gauzes and alcohol, whatever that's called that you put. Alcohol? There's a different name for it. Yes. Something like that. I don't know. But we were in his house. We were cleaning up Jeantou. And then we're like, well, we still need to go to the hospital because this gash is really big. So we took the wobbly wheeled moped, the wheel was like that, and we drove it for 2 miles to the nearest hospital we saw. On our drive back home, after she got her stitches, well, back to our hotel where we were staying, the house we were staying at, we were just happy that we're alive and that something worse wouldn't have happened, you know, get bit by a shark, lose your arm. That didn't happen to us, so we were happy. So I was thinking to myself, if things like this happen on our honeymoon and we're able to move past that, life together with Jeantou will be much different than I'd ever imagined marriage life to be, because we saw God's hand of protection over us in that minor accident. So to end off the story, there's a good part. For the next couple weeks, every single plane we boarded, we had priority seating because my wife was in a wheelchair. I pushed around every airport. So that's good. Good story. Okay. When we look at so many stories in the Bible, and we follow closely the works of Jesus while he was here on earth, almost everything he did was unconventional. So many times I'm thinking that God, the creator of the universe, sent his son down to show us what living is really meant to be like. He lived an extremely radical life, and in his early 30s, people had enough of him and decided it was time to get rid of him. Because everything that Jesus did was not perceived as normal or regular in that time. He was different than anything that anybody has ever seen. He's the person that loved the unlovable. He spent time with the unschooled. He healed the sick. And everywhere he went, everybody was asking a lot of questions about him or to him. So I like this story in Luke 5, starting in verse 17. So this is the story about the man that was sick, and he was let down through the roof on a bed. So let's start reading from verse 17. On one of the days while Jesus was teaching, some proud religious law keepers, so another translation says the Pharisees, and the teachers of the law were sitting by him. They had come from every town in the countries of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. The power of the Lord was there to heal them. Some men took a man who was not able to move his body to Jesus. He was carried on a bed. They looked for a way to take him into the house where Jesus was, but they could not find a way to take him in because of so many people. So they made a hole in the roof over where Jesus stood. Then they let the bed with the sick man on it down before Jesus. So when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." So let's imagine this scenario over here for those of you who are very visual. So right here, this middle section. Actually, no, he was right in front of Jesus. So Jesus is, let's say he's teaching here. All of a sudden, all the dust comes down, and I don't know if they had drywall, probably not, but it starts shaking, and Jesus is kind of like, I'm in the middle of something. What's going on? Like, did someone call a roofing company? Are they fixing the roof? No, they took the roof down, and he was in a bed, so the hole wasn't like, he didn't crawl through. They didn't take, like, a foot out. They took a big section of the roof down, and this man is just getting lowered in by a bunch of other people. Let's continue reading. Verse 21. The teachers of the law and the proud religious law keepers thought to themselves, "Who is this man who thinks as if he's God? Who can forgive sins but God only?" Jesus knew what they were thinking. He said to them, "Why do you think this way in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk?" So that story kind of took a turn over there because he didn't heal him right away. They all thought, okay, they made all this effort. He's going to come down through the roof. Jesus is just going to, whatever he used, probably not a wand because he wasn't a magician. He just said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." So everyone's like, why not heal him right away, you know? And then if we read on, we find out that Jesus actually did heal him, so that you may know that, so the reason he said your sins are forgiven, so that you may know the Son of Man has the right and the power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who could not move his body, "I say to you, get up, take your bed, and go to your home." At once the sick man got up in front of them. He took his bed and went on his way thanking God. All those who were there were surprised and gave thanks to God, saying, "We've seen very special things today." So people came from all around, like it says in the first verses. They came from Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem. They wanted to go there and meet Jesus because if they could only grab his attention, they could receive healing. So if we picture the scenario happening here, the way Jesus handled the situation is probably completely different than how we would handle a situation like that today. Like, what if we were in the meeting today, like we were just talking, or in a home or in a place, and all of a sudden the roof is being tore down, and you're like, hey, what are you doing? You're gonna fix that after, aren't you? Or I know Joel does roofing. He fixed my roof. Or you'd say, hey, on Monday, you're gonna call Joel. He's gonna fix this roof, right? So the first thing that Jesus did when this happened is he told him, your sins are forgiven. So why did he say that? Why was that the first thing? So if we look back into verse 17, you see that it says that the Pharisees were there and some other people. So who exactly were these Pharisees? Pharisee meant separated one. They separated themselves from everything they thought was unholy, and they thought everyone is separated from the love of God except for themselves. So they completely missed the fact that God was among them in human form, because everything they had set in their mind who God was completely torn down. The first thing that Jesus did is he actually addressed the man's greatest need and the common root of all pain and suffering, his sins. So that's what the first thing he really did is when he said, your sins are forgiven. He addressed his main need and the root of all pain and suffering. Jesus first wanted to let everyone in that room know that he is God and he has the authority to heal people. And then secondly, in verse 24, get up, take up your bed and go home. If that was me that day and I was sick of something of similar or worse or whatever it is, and Jesus came to me and said, hey, your sins are forgiven, you're healed, but now go home. I would probably listen to him and go home, right? I'm not going to question. You just healed me. I'm leaving. And the other thing is that he carried his bed home, but the room was full. But we're not going to get too deep into that. You guys understand the story. So I do want to ask Jesus one day in heaven, Jesus, what else were you teaching in that room on that day that so many people gathered there to see you? So that's only one of the things that the Bible tells us that happened that night. And then it ends off in the last verse by saying, all those who were there were surprised and gave thanks to God, saying, we've seen very special things today. So being unconventional will actually help us build our faith, like the man who, in this story, agreed to let his friends break through the roof tiles and have him lowered right in front of Jesus. So the greatest faith builder is actually to rely on God when you can't see the end and when you can't see the outcome. So as David was talking about last week, you're only a prayer away. Keep praying and asking. So I want to finish off with another story, taking it back to the honeymoon. My story's not done. So we traveled for 6 weeks total. And yes, when you're traveling and enjoying your time off, you're not exempt from normal life and its happenings. So on our last week while we were traveling, we were in Romania, the city I was born in, and it was fairly late at night. We were out for some coffee and dessert, and then we spent a few hours there. And after we were there for a couple hours, we were on our way back to our car, and I was like, hey, Jean-Tu, did you pay for the food? She's like, no, I thought you paid. I said, no, I didn't pay. And she's like, well, we better hurry back and pay them before they close. So we rushed to our car. We drove back to the cafe in hopes of still catching it open because it was dark and laid out. And because it was in the city center, like in the downtown area, there was almost no spots available to park. So we found a small parking spot, which was like diagonal, so it wasn't parallel parking, but it wasn't straight in. It was like one of those one-way, go in diagonal, and then one way. You guys know what I mean. But the spot was super, super tight for the vehicle that we were driving. And as I'm trying to park in very, very slowly, all I hear is a crunch. I'm like, oh no, I hit the car beside me. And yep, just like that, it happens again. So I'm like, God, what's happening? You know, like, why is this happening again? I feel like we already dealt with something, but now something else, and we're on our honeymoon. And then Jean-Tu's like, well, what are we going to do? It's kind of dark out. And some people were there who saw the accident, witnesses, and they're like, oh, just drive away. We didn't see anything. I'm like, first thought is, yeah, they're right. They didn't see anything. But no, we're like, we can't even leave them a phone number because we don't have a phone number. So what are we going to do? We're going to go out and look for them. Like, okay, we will do that. So we started taking every casino. It was pretty much casinos and bars, one by one. We stormed into each, like, do you drive this car? Ding, 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 ding. What? Do you drive this car? No. Next, ding, 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 ding. Do you drive this car? No. So just through the entire casino. And then afterwards, we went to all the bars. All the guys are like, you know, do you drive this car? I mean, you shouldn't be driving that car. But sure enough, where did we find them? In the bar, a few bars down. And I said, hey, do you drive this car? And he's like, yes, I do. Why? Like, well, you have to come out. He's like, why? I'm like, I have to show you something on your car. And then he goes and looks at his car. He's like, oh, you hit me. And I'm like, yep. And we found you. And he's like, well, let's go to a mechanic friend of mine. So we didn't know anyone there, plus it was so late. And then we got in his car, strangers. He was at the bar. I hope he wasn't drinking, but we went to a neighborhood somewhere around there, and he's like, my mechanic friend is going to tell you how much this cost. And he was guessing it's going to cost around 1,000 euro, which was a little bit steep. And the other part of me was like, whatever, we should just give this guy whatever he wants and just let it go, you know. And Jean-Tu's like, no, that's not what this damage costs. So we're meeting with his mechanic friend in the middle of the night, and then another one of his friends come, and they're both, like, looking at it. I'm like, I don't really think these guys are real mechanics. But it was getting late out, and then I said, hey, why don't we just meet you in the morning? Like, tell us a shop or whatever, or leave me your phone number, and we're going to meet at the shop in the morning. And then the guy who owned the car, he's like, well, how do I know you're going to be there? And then his friends are like, because he searched for you for hours. So the next day, we met him at the shop. We got his car fixed. He was very paranoid. He was surprised we were there. He was surprised we agreed to fix his car because we probably had other things to do, places to visit. And at the end of the day, his car was fixed. The mechanic's like, oh, that'll be only like $100 or something. It wasn't a big damage. And the other guy didn't know how much we paid, actually, the owner of the car. So then we went and talked to him, like, hey, your car's ready to go. And he's like, why did you guys do this? You know, why, this is really odd to me, you know? And I'm like, yeah, it is. We didn't want to do it. In fact, there were people there telling us to just drive off and just leave. Then he's like, yeah. And you guys went and searched for me. And I said, well, it's not us, because out of my powers, you heard my thinking, why don't we just drive off, you know, like, pretend like nothing happened. And I told him that. I said, no, it's not our power. It's because Jesus is inside of us. And his friends were there, too. And we were just able to share with him. And we're very joyful of the situation. So Jean-Tu and I both believe that one day, because of this encounter we had with him, he'll be in heaven with us. So we're excited to see him there. So as much as our human instincts wants us to live the safest and the most predictable life ever, we need to live a life surrendered of our own control. At the end of the day, unconventional, the word, is actually relative. It's just a matter of your perception or a matter of one's opinion. But we can look at Jesus and know what's unconventional. After all, he's the example that the Bible gives us, and a life reflective, and we're supposed to live a life reflective after his. So there's so many kinds of churches, so many kinds of religions. Where at the beginning, they probably have some good intentions, but it's very hard to run a church where you're trying to have structure, but then you also want to open up, being open to experience the awkward and maybe lots of beautiful moments you have with Jesus, which is why I'm thankful for KWCF and the way they lead the church. So just like in marriage or any other relationship, I believe that in order to live a full life, Jesus teaches us to be open to him and where he's going to take you and what will come out of that. So the context of my message was to be unconventional in your thoughts, in our thinking, be unconventional. So one of my favorite verses in Colossians 3, verse 2, it says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And another one in Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So this message was a message to encourage you. It's to encourage you that life is not in our control. And we don't know what the next day will bring. So there's no use in having your mind running all the time and thinking, your mind racing all the time, and knowing that whatever happens, God's in control, and we can trust in him, and we can trust in his timing. So like I said in verse 23, the last passage from Luke 5, Jesus, I just changed that, and I put the word I. So Jesus knows what I'm thinking, and he asks me, why do you think this way in your heart? So how can we think like God? Well, we can't. We don't know what he's thinking, but we do know what we're thinking. Therefore, we know what God is not thinking a lot of times. You know, so at the end, we're going to have a time of prayer. I'm going to pray for everyone, and then Pastor Ken's going to come up. But we had a time of prayer already, but this time of prayer is for the people that don't normally come up. You know, maybe you've been coming to this church for a while, maybe years, and not many people really know you or what you're going through. You know, committing to a ministry is probably not something you've ever been interested in because it's unconventional to my lifestyle and my routines. As good as our routines are, it can really throw us off to what Jesus is trying to tell us and show us. So before I pray, I just want to share a quick story that happened right here at KWCF. A few months ago, there was a call up for prayer for the necks, for like your upper neck and back. And I said, I should probably go up to that because earlier that week, I was at the doctor because my back was really hurting. My back generally never hurt, so it was new for me. And he looked at my back, and he's like, you know, your shoulders are actually, I'm going to exaggerate a bit, but your shoulders are actually like that, you know, because your spine is like a little bit twirled, turned. Your spine is offset. So the doctor said that to me earlier that week. So this week, when they did a call to prayer, hey, come up, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for those who have problems in their neck or in their spine. So I said, okay, I'm going to go up. You know, a lot of times we see people coming up front for prayer, and we're like, that's an act. They're not actually going to get healed. Or why are those people going up? I've never experienced anything like that. You know, it's not an act. Just like David's sermon last week where it says, you're just a prayer away. You're a prayer away from God answering your prayer. So that's what this is. We're going to have, after I pray, Pastor Ken's going to come up, and we're going to have some people coming up for prayer. Anyways, so to continue my story, that night when I came up, I went back down, and then he said, well, to those who came up, check if your problem's gone. Well, I'm in church, and I can't really check. So I went outside, went to the bathroom, the handicap stall, took my shirt off, looked in the mirror, and my shoulders were like that, straight. And I went home that night. I'm like, Jean, to look at my back. What does my spine look like? She's like, it's fine. I'm like, exactly. It's fine. You know, and to this day, like, that wasn't a one night thing. And then the next morning I woke up, I remember her. That night I came home, I kept going to the bathroom like 10 times, you know, like, am I sure that actually happened? Like, she's, and sure enough, every time I went to the bathroom, looked in the mirror, my shoulders were straight like that. So I do encourage you to come up and pray and step out and just build your faith, you know, step out. There's nothing to lose. You could only gain. And we have some faithful people coming up, Pastor Ken and some other people, maybe David from some other pastors. So I'm just going to have a prayer time, and then Pastor Ken's going to come up. Thank you, God, so much for this morning. We're so thankful for this church and everything it stands for. We're so thankful that we don't have to live unconventional lives, God, because Jesus didn't do that, and he's the example that we could look to. I'm so thankful for everyone here who do come up and receive prayer, who do press in and pray Sunday after Sunday. And God, I want to pray for those who maybe come Sunday after Sunday and have no idea what this is really about. I just pray that those people can just step out of their conventional routine into something unconventional and just come up and just experience what it is that you have for them. We're thankful for this morning. We're thankful for the first service, the people that came up, bless them and continue working in their hearts. And yeah, we're just thankful for you, Jesus. We're thankful for all the examples that you've given us through your word and how you took every scenario that you were in and just showed us that, hey, that's not necessarily the way it's done, but the way it's done, it's a little bit different than what you're used to. So God, I just pray that we could just be open to that and receiving you. Amen.
Amen. Let's thank Jonathan. Amen. Should we all stand together? You know, as I was sharing with Jonathan this week, he told me, he said, I really feel this message. And he said, I really feel it's for those that have never come to the front. He said, I feel like I want to call people to the front. And